Hey folks, TJ here filling in for Rich to let you know that this episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 19, Franchise Hockey Manager 4, and MLB Manager 2018 on mobile. Step into the shoes of a GM and or manager to own the future or rewrite the past of your favorite baseball franchise with Out of the Park Baseball, available on Steam, EA's Origin platform, and of course at OOTPdevelopments.com. If you want to see what the game is all about, you can stop by our Twitch channel at twitch.tv/OOTPdevelopments, where we do OOTP baseball streams Monday and Tuesday, and a Franchise Hockey Manager stream on Wednesdays. Can't watch live? That's fine. We archive it all over at youtube.com/OOTPdevelopments. And again, you can check out our award-winning sports strategy game, Out of the Park Baseball, available on Steam, Origin, and at OOTPdevelopments.com. Franchise Hockey Manager is available on Steam and OOTPdevelopments.com, and MLB Manager 2018 is available on Google Play and Apple's App Store. And now, this week's episode of the Press Row Podcast.
Well, here we are. It's late July, and the wave of sports games for the summer is about to hit. We've got some big developments regarding two upcoming games to go over, and then we're going to be talking about the best sports video game soundtracks. This is the Press Row Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Weedeye, Pasta Padre. With me for this episode, we've got TJ Lowerman. He's that sports gamer. And Chris Jardine, also known as Snaggle J. Thanks for coming on, fellas. TJ, you're first up. What you been up to lately?
Hey, Brian. What I've been up to is not being invited to Press Row Podcast episodes. It's very hurtful, if you ask me.
It's been a drought, I'm going to put the blame, because he's not here, on Rich for that. You should really take that up with him.
I will definitely do that. I've been playing a lot of baseball games. I've been finding myself more and more frustrated with the show as the year goes on, and so I've been playing more and more Out of the Park Baseball 19, hashtag ad.
Plug. Yeah, you know, that's something that we, that Rich and I have talked about or referenced a few times in recent weeks, is the kind of angst from some of the biggest people in the MLB, the show community, whether that's you or Mills Gaming TV, guys who love the game and play it basically year-round and put hours upon hours into it. And you seem real frustrated by certain things. And I know one of the big things, obviously, because they've been trying to fix it all year, is the hitting. Is there anything more than that that's been driving you away from it a bit?
Yeah, still getting some weird animations on defense. Like, I had this guy did a drag bunt, and it hit my third baseman in his ass.
I saw that.
I was kind of upset about that. Yeah, and just little plays like that, like, not stuff that alone would drive you crazy, but stuff that, like, in total will drive you insane.
Yeah, I've seen Mills kind of separate the offline play of MLB The Show this year and the online play, and it seems to be online where these issues are really exacerbated, and it's become really troubling, I think, for a lot of people who put their time and money into the game. But there's there's obviously a reason why you keep going back to it, even with all that happening, right? Because it's still, at its core, it's still a really satisfying game to play when everything's working properly.
Yeah. Just all that stuff adding up. I feel like I come back and I'll play it, and I'll play like two or three games and I'll be happy. And I'll come back the next day and I'll play two or three games and I'll be happy. And then, like last night, please don't go watch the Twitch archive, because it's atrocious. I didn't make it through a half an inning. I played a team with all immortals, and then my whole team just decided to not know how to play baseball anymore. And I turned it off. And then, you know what I did? Went over to my laptop and started a new Out of the Park Baseball franchise, where I'm going to sell off everybody on the Mets for the most part, and see if I can do something to turn that team around. Already doing a Braves franchise that I've been working on for a couple months, mm-hmm. but now I've been doing the Braves franchise on stream and for my YouTube channel, but this Mets one, I'm just going to be writing up at thatsportsgamer.com. And hopefully, you know, Rich and Gus aren't mad when I trade away, you know, all the quote-unquote young talent that is leading the Mets to not be a good baseball team this year. But
what are you going to do with your boy Tim Tebow?
You know, I haven't even thought about it.
Wow.
And that should be, definitely going to be my starting right fielder in the very near future.
I was going to say that should be your number one priority, is to figure out what to do with him, because obviously that's important.
Yeah, well, I was looking at the lineup last night, and I was like, yeah, like, there's, you know, the Mets are in a interesting position where, in like, on paper, they have a good team. Like, their team's not bad. Like, it should not be as unbelievably bad as it is in real life. They just get hit with a bunch of injuries, and a bunch of freak stuff seems to happen to them for some reason. But, like, on paper, they're a decent team. But I was looking at the lineup last night, and I was like, you know, the idea of this rebuild is going to be to try to get them back into contention in, like, 2021, 2022. And I looked at the lineup, and there's, like, two guys in the lineup that I would actually want to have at that point. Because right now they have a bunch of, like, 33, 34, 35-year-olds in their lineup, and that's not going to – they're not going to be around in 4 years when I'm going to be trying to be competitive with this team. And – They're good on paper, and if like you do an out of the park baseball sim, you know, in what the computer thinks is real life, and not, you know, Yoenis Cespedes just apparently has calcium deposits in his heels that the Mets knew about years ago but didn't tell anybody. And
is that not an injury in your injury report? No OTP.
I don't think it currently is. But speaking of crazy injuries, the Mets just had Noah Syndergaard over the All-Star break. I think he went to, like, a kid's training camp and got hand, foot, and mouth disease, which this I didn't even know human beings could get.
Wow.
And
that's a Mets
thing. What's funny is actually this week I wrote up the storyline for that is going to go in maybe in the next update to Out of the Park.
Oh.
There will be a storyline where you can contract hand, foot, and mouth disease.
Well, that's excellent. I mean, it's very important to keep up on those because there are so many quirky injuries and incidents that happen. It seems like baseball more than any other, and I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just because the season is longer and the guys have too much free time.
Yeah, and running the Twitter account at OOTP Baseball, whenever there's a weird incident that happens in baseball,
you hear about it.
I get a tweet the second after the news story post, where it's like, this sounds like an out of the park injury. Like, yeah, we had, you know, when Trevor Bauer cut his hand on his
drone,
on his drone. We put that in real quick. I think it was this off season. Someone fell through their barn roof. So we put that in the game before it launched.
Okay.
So yeah, there's just a lot of weird stuff that seems to happen to baseball players. So
yeah,
try to keep it as real as humanly possible, even though people are like, this doesn't sound real. And it's like, yeah, well, it happened like 10 times already. So
what else you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of The Division. I don't know if I picked that up. I got an Xbox One X not too long ago.
Oh, awesome.
And it came with a Games Pass, like a month of Games Pass.
Games Pass, great deal. Yeah.
So I started playing The Division, liked it, just bought it because I think it was like $15 at the time. And I wasn't going to keep up with the Games Pass because a lot of those games I don't really like. So I'm playing a lot of The Division. I'm excited to play Madden. I'm going to jump over to Xbox for this season.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, or at least I have, and I think Rich probably has, that's where we'll probably be doing our franchise.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see what that looks like in beautiful, powered by 4K, played on my 1080p monitor. That should be good. And another game, I don't know if I've talked about it on here. I want to say I haven't, but I've been playing a mobile game called Golf Clash. I believe it's on Android and iOS. I guess it's got to be on both because I think Rich has too.
Mm-hmm.
It's you just play like one hole against someone else, and if you shoot better than them, you get like you bet money, like a set amount of money and
virtual
or
money.
not real money, fake
yes.
money.
Yes.
You can put in money to buy balls and all gems and stuff. I haven't done that. Maybe. No, I did buy balls at one point. But yeah, it's good. It's online head-to-head. You play one hole versus person. You know, if you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. If you tie, you go to like a one-shot playoff closest to the pin. So it's good for just like if you just want to pick it up for 5 minutes here and there, knock a hole out, it's a whole lot of fun. I highly recommend checking it out.
Awesome. So, Chris Jardine, Snaggle J, been a while since you've been on also. How are things for you?
I've spent a lot of my time throwing shade at Rich every Thursday on Twitter for me not being on the Press Row podcast.
Yeah, it's all we need is to kick him off, and then look, here you are.
Yeah, yep. I mean, he tweets out every Thursday, you know, hey, you guys have any questions, let me know. And my question always is, hey, how come Snaggle J is not on again this week?
Yeah.
But that's okay. You know, it's only been probably a few months. I can't remember the last time. That's fine. I've been keeping busy. It's okay. My feelings are not hurt. I'm very happy to be here. I have been, you know, it's funny listening to TJ talk about, you know, the frustrations and stuff with the show. And right now for me, the show is actually only the third most played baseball game that I own, behind obviously Out of the Park Baseball, hashtag ad,
Super Mega Baseball,
and Super Mega Baseball as well.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I enjoy, you know, OTP on the official OTP development stream, but I also play it in my personal time. It's a wonderful game. I don't just play it, you know, for the stream. I play it a lot in my own personal time, but Super Mega Baseball for me is I still play MLB The Show. I have a Mariners franchise. I do not play Diamond Dynasty at all. I'm completely withdrawn from it now. I don't dabble in it. I'm completely out of that particular aspect of the game. I play the franchise mode and I enjoy it, but Super Mega Baseball for me has eclipsed MLB The Show in fun factor by a wide margin, in my opinion. And it's just a very well done game. You know, don't let the cartoonish graphics fool you. It is definitely a simulation of baseball. It's very, you know, the controls are very similar, but it's just a very well done game. And it has those customization features that MLB The Show doesn't have. So for someone who likes to go in and tweak the jerseys and tweak the players and tweak the names and then, you know, put your friends in the game and like, I just find Super Mega Baseball to be a lot easier for that. And I've been playing a lot of non-sports stuff, too. I've been dabbling in the Paladins on Nintendo Switch. Hmm. I've been playing Fortnite on Nintendo Switch. The Switch has taken up a lot of my time. I'm playing Pokemon Quest on the Switch, which is something that I bounce back and forth because my kids really enjoy it. And something we're going to talk about, but I've been playing the NHL 19 beta, which came out today.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to a very busy fall. I mean, we're what, 11 days away from Madden?
If you count EA Access, we're like 6 days at this point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. See, me not being. I'm glad all you guys are, you know, telling the world that you're scared to play me on PS4, so scared that you're moving to another console. So, you know, that's good for my ego. You know, no one wants to play me on PS4. That's fine. I understand. Mm. But, I mean, you know, we're getting into the heart of the fall season, you know, with Madden and with NHL, and we get NBA, and we have FIFA, and we have Pro Evolution, and then not to mention all the non-sports AAA games that are coming out as well. Yep. Like, it's the last 4 months of 2018 is going to be, like, you're going to need to find an eighth day of the week somewhere in there to try and play everything that you're going to want to play. Like, I look at my list, which I just happen to have next to me, and I have no less than 11 games. And that's not including the ones that I haven't been able to finish, like Octopath Traveler, which I've barely been able to play. It's just, it's been an awesome year for video games.
So hey, does your list have when Fire Pro comes out on PS4?
Yes, it does.
When is that? Because I'm super excited for that.
I think it's August 20-something?
Yeah, it's late August. I don't remember the date specifically, but...
Excellent, because I really want to play that. And I am not become. I have not become interested by anything I've been hearing from WWE about. What is it? 2K19, I guess.
Yeah.
Other than the pop figure. For,
August 28th. August 28th. Fire Pro Wrestling World comes out on PS4.
I'm gonna circle that date on my calendar right now.
Yeah. Big day. Yeah, that's a good one. Let's shift then to, you brought it up, Chris. Let's talk a little bit about the NHL 19 beta, which is out now, and it's going to stay open until at least August 2nd. In the past, EA has ended up extending those week-long betas a little bit. It wouldn't be surprising if it ends up going through the end of next week or something like that. But you know, it's a great opportunity. It's an open beta. You don't have to sign up. You just go and download it on Xbox One or PS4. Great opportunity to try the game out. They've got some of the new features built in there to try out, including the NHL ones. Remember last year they introduced NHL 3s, which was 3-on-3, kind of an arcade-y approach to that mode. And now NHL 1s, which is 1v1v1, creating a whole new dynamic. And I haven't had a chance to play any of the beta yet, but I've seen a few videos of it, and it looks pretty fun. I mean, it's not intended to be a simulation thing, and I actually think NHL, the series, in the last couple of years has really tried to shift and create a product that's more appealing to a casual crowd, and that continues this year with NHL 1s. And they've got the character creation, and I think EA Sports Hockey League is involved in the beta also. Chris, give me some of your impressions, having played it here on its first day of being out.
So my first impression has nothing to do actually with the beta itself, but you guys may have noticed as well. The social media reaction to this beta being out was way beyond the hype level that I actually expected it to be. And I don't know if that's where, because people are frustrated with MLB The Show and kind of where Diamond Dynasty is right now, but my Twitter was blowing up with people who I've never seen talk about NHL, tweet about NHL, probably never play NHL, who were extremely, extremely excited and hype to play this beta today and are streaming the beta or have streamed the beta and are still streaming it just, that to me was the first big thing, was I was blown away by the hype level that there was for this beta. Just not something I expected.
And I think I'll interrupt you just for a second. I think it's a sign of also how they rolled this out. So in the past, these betas for EA Sports Hockey League, betas for NHL, you had to go to a website, you had to put in your email address, and this was weeks or months in advance of when the beta actually began, and then they'd send out a code. It was a whole big process, right? And then inevitably there'd be people who weren't aware of it, and time would come, and then they weren't involved, and then EA would open it up to everyone after a few days. And so it was not, you know, streamlined. It wasn't necessarily a consumer-friendly approach. And you also have Madden, which recently had a beta where they gatekept it the whole time, and then used it as a way to build social buzz by giving out codes and things of that nature. And still a lot of people who wanted to participate weren't able to. So I think... and it's the right approach for NHL because they want to build their consumer base. They want to get new fans. So making it easy, accessible, and kind of dropping it out of nowhere. We all kind of knew end of July is when this happens, but there was really no indication this was going to happen until the news just came out today. So I think it was the way they approached it and the way they rolled it out. It definitely has benefited them here, and I agree with what you were saying about that, Chris.
Well, let's put it this way. We're July 26th, and right now, as we're recording this on Twitch, there are 4.5 times as many people watching NHL 19 beta streams as there are watching MLB The Show 18 streams.
That's interesting.
So it's working.
Yeah, that's interesting because... You know, we talk about streaming numbers for sports games, and NHL, I don't think, has much of a streaming presence.
No.
And also, it's an open beta. You don't have to sit and watch somebody else play it.
You can play it for yourself.
Yeah, you can go play it for yourself. So I think that is showing maybe a sense of interest. And also, are these new modes, and you can get to this a little bit, Chris, are these new modes more streamer-friendly? Like, they're arcade, a little over the top. Is that more fun to watch as a streamer than just a simulation NHL game?
Well, I can tell you, first of all, that the ones mode is, first of all, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Do I necessarily think it's more streamer friendly? I mean, it's more casual if you're the kind of streamer. Like, you know, we'll use Mills as an example. You know, obviously friend of the show, is very well known for his franchise-related streams. But he also can mix in the casual streams as well, where he will play something like ones or threes or, you know, and it works. I think it's all dependent on your audience. I mean, if you're someone who only streams franchise modes and games and you go to stream ones, it might not work out well for you because your audience is used to seeing something, you know, a little more methodical and a little more, you know, piece by piece as you go through a franchise. But I mean, I had a lot of fun playing ones. I played it for probably 2.5 hours before we started recording this. You know, it's, again, very, very geared towards casual people. And I know we had this conversation about a year ago when we talked about threes. Would it be something that people would play beyond the first 2 weeks of release? Threes was one of those things where you played it a couple times, and I don't really know if you ever played it again after that. I know I didn't. I played it the first week. I can see ones being something that may have a longer sustained life cycle, because if they can properly integrate some events into it and maybe tie that in, again, I know right now, you know, as you progress through your character levels, you get equipment bags, which will unlock things like, you know, sticks, clothing for your character, whether it be the casual clothing or whether it be the real NHL clothing. You know, is there a way that they can have events where they can somehow tie that back into Hockey Ultimate Team? I feel like they have a better chance with ones on making it a more sustained effort that people could play for a longer period of time. I think it was a lot of fun. Just like threes, I do see the possibility where you're going to have people that, you know, are griefers and are just trying to abuse and exploit the mode. Like every other arcade mode NHL does, the goaltending is horrendous. Me personally, I'd like to see the goaltenders be a little bit more of a challenge. But overall, it's really well done. It was a lot of fun to play. The games are quick. You can get right into one. They're 3-minute games. Most goals wins, obviously. It's not like threes where you have like the special pucks that, you know, can give you two goals or take away goals from the other team. It's just goal for goal. 1v1v1, most goals wins. It's really simple. You know, when your game's over, you hit play another game. It puts you in a match. You don't even have to go back out to the menu. You're right back in another game. That was really, really great. Overall, I'm really impressed. I know it's hard to gauge gameplay-wise from playing an arcade mode, but the skating feels better. I feel like the response time from your inputs was improved from last year. I feel like the hitting detection was really good. Again, even though it's an arcade mode, I feel like not every time I tried to use the hit stick ended up in a big hit. If I missed someone to the left or to the right, you know, there would be often little brush bys, and more often than not, that would penalize me more than it would the player that brushed by me. So I think that was really well done. So yeah, I think it's heading in the right direction. I'm sure EA is going to get lots of great feedback from the beta. It was a fun experience.
So what did you spend time playing anything other than that particular mode, or is that where you focused?
No, I played a couple games of threes, and I tried to jump into just an EASHL pickup game, but I lost connection right as I was loading into the game, and that was right before we were going to come on to this, so I never got a chance to go any further with that. I did watch a few people play some EASHL games, but not enough where I could form any sort of opinion on where I think that particular, if there's any improvements or any issues there so far.
Okay, great. TJ, don't remember if you ever play NHL. If you do or you don't, does the beta tempt you at all?
Oh, yeah, I've already downloaded it, got it installed, and I'll probably be checking it out after we record tonight.
Awesome. Well, I look forward, maybe we'll hear some of your thoughts on that on Twitter, or you can post some videos. I'll be looking forward to that. One other piece of news to hit on this week, pretty major as far as, well, Rich and I have talked about our theories on what was going on with NBA Playgrounds 2 over the last couple months. It was delayed 5 days before it was going to release. Saber Interactive, the developer, had not said anything about it since. So we had various theories, and one of which was that it, the studio may have been acquired, or as it turns out, a publishing agreement with 2K Sports. So it's now going to be called, and I don't like this name, it's not a good name, but it's NBA 2K Playgrounds 2. Same game, essentially. I mean, it was already set to release. They may add a few features. They may add some to the roster. I think the big question is going to be whether they tweak it to become heavily monetized, because NBA Playgrounds was built on kind of a card-based, as far as how you acquire players for your team, or you unlock the roster, at least at first. Eventually, you could pay to unlock the entire roster. But it was card-based, which would make it a natural transition if they wanted to do... if they wanted to monetize that. And it's coming out now this fall, which is really a very difficult time, as Snaggle talked about earlier, as far as how many games are coming out. If it's coming out this fall, it comes after all those sports games that Chris mentioned. It comes against, you know, going up against huge AAA games in that October or November period, where people are allocating their money to bigger things. And so but that being said, it's got the 2K name now. That's a big selling point. It's going to get a lot more exposure because of that, with the backing of 2K Sports. So I think that it's a good sign that a major publisher sees value in an arcade sports game, because we've gone a long time without having a whole lot of them. We're starting to see them come back because of independent developers. TJ, what's your reaction to all this?
Well, my first question is, did they put a price on the release for this fall?
Not yet. So it was going to be $20, but that could very well be different now.
Yeah, because I know when we first heard about it being delayed, a lot of the speculation was, you know, maybe it's going to become, you know, a release first on PlayStation as part of PlayStation Plus, and then come out on Xbox later, or come out with games with gold or something when that happened. I can't see 2K trying to be like, hey, go spend $20 on this game and then go spend, you know, $60 or the $100 version, or
right.
Is there like a Super King $150 version of 2K this year? Probably.
Right. So that's a good point. I mean, as I said, it's not only competing against all those other games, but you're right, it's competing against NBA 2K19, because people will have spent $60 to $100 or whatever it is dollars and beyond on VC, on their you know, card collecting mode within that game, and so it becomes a tough ask. And when I wrote up my article on this news, I mentioned that sports games that have released in the fall have typically failed. I mean, that's where college basketball came and went and didn't sell, because of those very same challenges. So it's going to be interesting to see how well it can do in that environment at that time of year. Because it was going to come out in June, which would have been a great time for it, because there's nothing else around it. But now it's sliding back, and it's got that whole, you know, money issue as far as whether people are going to want to commit to it or not. But like I said, if they monetize it, potentially, and this was a theory I threw out a couple weeks ago, potentially they could turn it into a free-to-play game and then just monetize it on the card collecting side of things. You know, whether they do that or not, we don't really have an indication, but it would also explain why it's taken months if they were going to transition it in that way.
Yeah, it does seem like a good idea to release it for free, especially since they're probably going to be releasing both games on the same day or very close to each other, I would assume. So
no, well, if fall, technically NBA 2K is a summer game if we're going to be strict to the actual seasons, and then fall, what is the fall dates this year? Let's see,
where does fall this year?
Yeah,
Chris, what do you guys call it up there? You guys call it autumn? How's Canada work?
No, we call it fall.
All right.
I call it fall.
So that's fall or autumn. September 26th through December 7th. So, I mean, I kind of figured that it's probably going to fall in October or fall, no pun intended, in October, late October, once the season has begun. And they probably want to space it out. If they sell it, they probably want to space it out from NBA 2K a little bit. If it's free to play, they could really put it anytime they want within there.
Yeah, maybe they do like the a light version for free, but then there's like the $20, you know, get 100 packs or whatever.
Yeah, and there is bonus version. Like you said, TJ, there is still the possibility that they could make it an Xbox Games with Gold or a Game Pass or a PlayStation Plus release. They could still do that.
I mean, or they could just try to package it in with 2K.
Well, that's you know, that was something that I thought about too. Was that they could either combine it into the game and make it its separate, you know, its own separate mode within NBA 2K. They've expanded that series as far as its content to a great extent already. It wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, you're right. They probably will, at the very least, if they do sell the game, they could sell a combo pack or something of that nature at this point.
And there's almost precedent, because I think it was NBA Elite 11 was going to have NBA Jam on Fire Edition.
Yes.
With it as part of the sale. Tragically, we never got NBA Elite 11 and the T-Pose everywhere. I mean, but I still play NBA Jam on Fire Edition. That's a backwards compatible game on Xbox One. So,
yep.
If you got that, go play it. Chris, they just need to update the rosters on that. If they could just do that, I would play that game all the time.
Yeah, legalities, licensing, you know. Chris, any thoughts on NBA Playgrounds?
So I have interest in this game for one very specific reason, and that's because I feel like it could be the perfect Switch game. Like, if you look at, and not just sports, because, I mean, again, the sports footprint on the Switch is still very, very limited.
And going to get smaller, because 2K is not going to release WWE on it.
Right.
No, well, that's fine, because WWE was an absolutely colossal failure on the Switch to begin with, because like most games that get ported that quickly, it was a shell of the actual game that people were used to playing on the quote-unquote more conventional consoles. But, like, you look at the sports games that have done well, and immediately Golf Story comes to mind. Fantastic game. Really well done. One of my favorite games that I've played on the Switch so far. I feel like NBA 2K Playgrounds 2, which is agreed, ridiculous name.
It's tough to say.
It is. I feel like NBA Playgrounds 2, again, could be a great Switch game. It's something you could pick up and play, you know, and have fun with. But, again, it's dead in the water in the fall. It has no traction unless they get and again, the things you guys are talking about, you know, Games with Gold doesn't exist on the Switch. PS Plus, not on the Switch. If you bundle it with NBA 2K, I ain't buying NBA 2K. I don't care. I'm not buying it on the Switch. There's not a chance. Like, it's, you know, it's one of those things where I feel like this game was made for the Nintendo Switch, and it's probably going to be the one that they're going to do the greatest disservice to, just like they did the first time. So while I am still cautiously optimistic, and I will still definitely, you know, give it a try and see what's behind it when we eventually do get it released, my hopes for this game right now are very, very, very low.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see what 2K does to prop it up. I suspect they'll have a hand in it. It's late in the game for that, but they'll have some influence on it. We'll have to see where it goes from there. But let's shift now to sports video game soundtrack. So Madden NFL 19 released its soundtrack this week, and that got me thinking. We've talked about it briefly. We've never really broken it down. What are some of the best sports video game soundtracks from the history of sports video games? So, you know, I went back. I'm not sure any of us consider ourselves music experts of any kind, but as far as when you listen to a soundtrack, when it accompanies a game, you tend to remember it. Some of them are memorable, some are forgettable. But at least for me, and I think probably all of us, it's a lot more about nostalgia than it is about like the hottest songs of the time being on the soundtrack, or the biggest artists being on the soundtrack. Music, of course, very subjective. But based on Twitter, I think there's almost a consensus on like a handful of sports games. We'll go through that later, the responses I got on Twitter when I posed the question. But we're going to count down our top three favorite sports video game soundtracks. TJ, start us off with your number three.
My number three is probably somebody's number one around here. The original Tony Hawk Pro Skater soundtrack. Mm. Big fan of songs such as Psycho Vision by Suicidal Tendencies, New Girl by the Suicide Machines, and of course, Superman by Goldfinger. I think in college, I literally downloaded every single Goldfinger album that was available, and I am still a fan to this day. Nothing is better than pulling off a 900 while talking about The New Girl.
Yeah, Tony
I can't
Hawk,
wait to tell you all about it.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater was a popular choice on Twitter also. So TJ, you hit on one there that I think was a choice that a lot of people had in mind.
In the franchise, have had great soundtracks.
But. Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the things it's best known for. Chris, you're number three.
Well, while I agree that Tony Hawk Pro Skater is a very acceptable number three selection, as TJ put it,
I'm sure he appreciates your accepting of it.
I do very much.
My number three is Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Whoa.
Mainly because, in my opinion, one of the best songs used in any sports game ever is Guerrilla Radio by Rage Against the Machine. Which was also in Madden NFL 10, by the way. A little bit of maybe some foreshadowing for later. But you had Bad Religion. You had Anthrax featuring Public Enemy. You had Power Man 5000. You had Papa Roach. The whole soundtrack, top to bottom. Again, you could pick any Tony Hawk Pro Skater or Tony Hawk Underground game, and the soundtrack is top-notch. But for me, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 was the one I had to go with as my favorite.
I'm going to go listen to When Worlds Collide right after we finish recording this.
See, you should. You really should.
All right. So my number three is going to be a game from 2003 known as NBA Street Volume 2. This is a game with and I went back and I researched some of these soundtracks and I listened to some of them over again. And it brought back to me that really there's probably no... This might be the soundtrack that best encompasses the spirit of the game. I reminisce.
reminisce for a spell, or shall I say think back 22 years ago to keep it on track. The birth of a child on the 8th of October. My toast, but my granddaddy came sober. Count all the fingers and the toes. Now I suppose your the little black boy grows. 18 years younger than my mama, but I really got beatings with the girl of trauma. In single parenthood, there I stood. By the time she was 21, had another one.
It was very, you know, heavy on old school hip hop. It just fit at the time, and it fit the style of the game. And so I went with NBA Street Volume 2 as my number three choice here.
Solid. I was always a fan of the NBA Street. You know, that particular soundtrack was, and again, like you said, I felt like it fit very well with the type of game that they were trying to put out there. So yeah, no, definitely a solid choice.
Absolutely. TJ, what is your number two?
My number two takes us to the year. I don't remember when baseball games got their numbering right. So brings me to MVP 2005.
Okay.
With such amazing songs as The Donuts, We Got the Noise, The Bravery's Honest Mistake. What do we got? I guess this is Louis the 14th, Finding Out True Love is Blind. Hot Hot Heat's You Owe Me an IOU. The High Speed Scene's The I Rock Z Song, which is amazing. And of course, after the Red Sox World Series victory, Dropkick Murphy's Tessie.
And sometimes when the game is on the line, Tessie always carried them away. Up the road from third base to Huntington, the boys would always sing and swing.
I think the thing that we're going to realize is we played these games so much that these games were like bored into our head. Like, I heard these songs had to have been hundreds, if not thousands of times. And yeah, really good soundtrack. It only had like 10 songs on it. And I think eight of them, I know way too many of the words of.
MVP, the series definitely got a lot of tweets. But I think there's some debate within there about which was the best one, 2003, 2004, 2005. I'll tell you, I have an MVP on my list, but it is not 2005. But I loved all three of them. They're all really good. But I decided just to pick one of them, went with a different one. Chris, you're number two.
Like I get used to working at Out of the Park Developments, I love when TJ does my job for me. My number two is also MVP Baseball 2005. And again, I do get where there is some dissension within the MVP ranks for 3, 4, and 5. But like you said with NBA Street, Brian, I feel like the 05 MVP soundtrack, while you don't have really any names who were huge at the time, again, the Dropkick Murphys, you know, kind of rose to prominence with Boston winning the World Series in 2004 and whatnot, but I feel like the soundtrack for this game really fits that particular baseball game.
Just wanted to know my own.
like, you didn't need to know the songs. They just worked well within the game. It was a good listening experience. Like TJ said, you got to know the songs. They got bored into your head. You never knew the names of them, but you didn't need to, because you just, you know, you knew when you heard that song come on that you liked it. So yeah, for me, you could have went with 3-4, but for me, 2005 was by far my favorite.
So also, this game had really good mini games,
which I think is why
we heard a lot of the music too.
Yeah, exactly.
You say that, I was literally going to say that hitting mini game is probably where I heard the music the most, and that's why it makes that impression on you, because a lot of times you'll hear the soundtrack in the menus, and you know you don't necessarily want to be in the menus, so it's not a great recollection. But when you can associate it with something that's actually fun, like we were able to do there, I think that gives it a big leg up. My number two, and this is a range of time, at least for EA Sports, where they were really killing it with soundtracks, as we just talked about MVP. I'm going with Madden 04, and this was another tough call for me, because Madden 05 I thought was really strong too. Madden 04 is my choice at number two, and what EA did really well back then was the variety on the soundtracks. It was different styles of music. It was also a mix of unknown artists and fully established artists. But Madden 04 is probably the sports game I spent the most time with, at least around that time, the most time playing, and the soundtrack never got old. And there's a lot of songs on there that I still listen to, and will listen to this day. And I give it the nod because of all of those factors.
Way Away is definitely my DB Ball SWAT training game song that I remember the most.
Absolutely.
Interesting that you said you had to decide between 2004 and 2005. When I was going through these before, for my honorable mentions, I do have Madden on there. But I actually cut off 2005 and instead went 2003 and 2004. I felt like 2005 wasn't as good as 3 and 4. But yep. Personal preference.
Oh, no, absolutely. 3 is a strong one also. I was looking at some lists of people's favorite sports video game soundtracks, and 03 was one that got mentioned a lot too. So, TJ, your top sports video game soundtrack.
Okay, so obviously, you know, number three, I had Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. You know, your punk, your ska, a lot of drums, a lot of horns. Then number two, I had MVP Baseball 2005. I don't even know what you call that music. Is that alternative? I don't even know what that is.
It's like punk pop.
Was it? I don't know. Yeah, I guess Tessie. Yeah, you know what? Maybe it is. So we're gonna stick with it and go with the amazing rap soundtrack out of the wrestling game, Def Jam Vendetta.
Oh,
featuring such amazing songs. This is 21 tracks, and I actually have this on my phone to just play at random times because they're so good. We got DMX's Party Up, Keith Murray's Yeah Yeah You Know It, such a good song. CNN, MOP, it's called Stomp Dash because they can't say the whole title. We'll be right back. You know, Nori's nothing. What else we got here? Comps Do Something is good. Method Man's is good. They're just all so good. Joe Budden, Focus. I think Joe Budden is also on the Madden NFL 2004 album with Pump It Up, I believe.
That is correct.
We got DMX, X Gonna Give It To You. And it's all, I believe it's all introed by DJ K Slay, a.k.a. Slapper Fever DJ, a.k.a. The Drama King, a.k.a. The World Heavyweight Mixtape Champion, a.k.a. I believe that's all in the intro song if you want to check that out. 76 minutes and 47 seconds, apparently, of really good rap music.
Absolutely. I mean, that game was really built around music, so that it was successful in that manner is, you know, and it stuck around for you. So that's
and
good.
It was, and the thing that really got me with this game in particular was I did not like those. Chris, you'll have to remind me. What were those first PlayStation wrestling games or first PS2 wrestling games that were WWE?
SmackDown like versus Raw, or SmackDown versus Raw. Yeah, Raw versus SmackDown, or SmackDown versus Raw, or
yeah. And coming from N64, I did not like those games at all.
Yeah, they were atrocious.
And Def Jam Vendetta used the Aki engine that they used on N64, and it was like putting on an old sweatshirt or whatever that phrase is. A really great game, amazing soundtrack. I still listen to some of these songs to this day.
But did they have? Was Aki Man a character in Def Jam Vendetta?
That's I'm gonna say no. But
he was awesome in the wrestling games.
Was it Nori that had a large gold eagle on his wrist? Might be a thing. I don't remember. One of those guys.
Possibly.
All right, Snaggle, what is your top sports video game soundtrack?
So all the people who replied to your tweet, which as of us recording this is over 50 responses, nobody that I have seen has mentioned this game, which is both good and bad. But for me, the best sports video game soundtrack, and this may be a stretch, but Gran Turismo 2.
Oh,
not okay. Even. Okay, listen to these artists. Moby, Fear Factory, Rob Zombie, Filter, Garbage, The Cardigans, Foo Fighters, The Crystal Method, Stone Temple Pilots, Creed, Hole, and Beck all on the same soundtrack. And if you go to the European version, you have Fatboy Slim, the Propeller Heads, the Stereophonics. Unbelievable soundtrack for a game. I mean, that for me is like my teenage years wrapped into like a Wikipedia article. Those are all, you know, right in my wheelhouse. Not to mention the fact that Gran Turismo 2 was a pretty good game in its own right. And I played the absolute living guts out of it. But yeah, to me, that soundtrack, nothing holds a candle to it.
Wow. Yeah, you went off the board.
That's a really good soundtrack.
Yeah. My number one, and I talked about it a little earlier, And it's almost giving credit to MVP baseball for its three-year, if we don't count the college year, three-year run with MLB. I went 2003, though, and I'll tell you why. If there is one if there's one song that I identify with MVP baseball more than any other, it's Swing Swing by All American Rejects. So that's the one, when I think of MVP baseball, that song immediately gets stuck in my head. And I still listen to it to this day, and it brings back memories of MVP baseball, and I don't even associate it necessarily with MVP 2003. That song makes me think of 2004 and 2005 also, for whatever reason. But it is kind of, I'm awarding it that spot kind of for 3 years of magical soundtracks that really just did that series incredibly well. And but yeah, I mean, you guys take an MVP 2005. I can't fault that either. But that's my choice for the top one. Responses on Twitter. We got a lot, obviously, for some of the ones we picked. Yeah, we didn't see Def Jam. We didn't see Gran Turismo. We did see Tony Hawk several times. We got some mentions for FIFA World Cup 98 and 2010. Both of them have at least pretty memorable main like theme songs to them. Madden 03, as we mentioned earlier, was one. NBA Live 03.
NBA Live 03, I don't know if you know, it was the first video game soundtrack in history to be certified platinum by the RIAA.
Ooh.
Sold over 1 million copies worldwide. Also, at some point, I went to a GameStop and I was going to trade in my copy of NBA Live 2003. They were going to give me about $1.25, and I was like, no, I will keep this just for the soundtrack CD.
NBA Live 03, one of my favorite sports games from its time, not because it was a great game necessarily, but I had more fun with that online with some buddies of mine than I may have had at any other time.
Only 7 songs on the soundtrack.
Yeah,
all fire. Definitely go to YouTube and check them out.
Yeah, Madden 07 got a mention. So another Madden, and it wouldn't be any sports video game show talking about the past without somebody bringing up NFL 2K5 soundtrack, which I don't remember being, or I don't know if it was particularly memorable or not, but it did get a mention, and it was a serious one, so it may have a good soundtrack. I just don't, it just doesn't come to mind.
Just for the ESPN loops alone, that would make the soundtrack.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, acceptable.
Another Madden, I don't remember what year it was the year with all the NFL films music, and then an honorable mention from me, I would say NBA Ballers. Which was kind of a poor man's NBA Street Volume 2, which I put in my top 3. Pretty good soundtrack for its time. I know you guys have some honorable mentions you want to hit on also. Chris, how about you go first?
I just have a couple. So for me, I really enjoy the NCAA games that where you can just turn it to the fight song music.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I never felt like the NCAA games had really good soundtracks, but I always loved just turning on the fight songs and listening to that as you're playing through, and it kind of gets you immersed in the game, and they're really well done and really well recorded, and they're just, you know, so it's a little different experience. SSX Tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the soundtrack was good beyond just the song Tricky, but the soundtrack was really good. You know, it kind of a throwback and it, really good game, really good soundtrack. And yeah, I think any Madden between like 04 and 2010, depending on your flavor of music, you could go in there and listen to, you know, 2004 through 2010 and probably find one of those games that you really like. I have, you know, I enjoy them all to varying degrees, but I think that period was really strong for the franchise when it comes to sound.
TJ, run through anything else you got on your list there?
We named most of it. I did see someone tweeted out Need for Speed Underground.
Yeah, there
that had a very very good soundtrack.
Absolutely, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think of everything else we covered. There was a, I want to say it was like All-Star Baseball 2003 or 2K3 at the time. I think it had the either the music from The Natural when he shatters the light or a very close facsimile. So that had some good music. Honorable mention to what year was the NBA 2K game where while it was installing, all you would hear is Kanye West's Power for like an hour and a half. Cause that was a good game.
Oh, that was a good time.
But I have a question. I'd like to pose a question. I would also like to give my thoughts on the answer before I let you guys do it.
Okay.
Obviously, we picked a lot of songs like pre-2010.
Well, yeah, I was let me just make a point I was going to bring up. Sure. The most recent game in all three of our lists, the most recent game to have released was 2004. That was MVP Baseball 2005.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Wow. I was going to ask why. My answer. So I'll ask an answer. Podcasts, definitely. I think I started listening to podcasts in probably 2005, 2006, somewhere around there. And then probably the rise of YouTube. And, you know, second screens and cell phones and
streaming
and streaming.
Yeah, Spotify, when they made it possible, I mean, you could always do it yourself and through your headphones or whatever. But when they made it possible to stream Spotify or Pandora over top your games, I mean, that was, these games still come out with soundtracks, but I don't know if they'll ever have the influence that they did in the past because so many people just override them now.
And most of the time, you know, if I'm playing, all the music is turned off because I'm probably streaming and I don't want to get a copyright strike. Or if I'm watching someone else's stream, they don't have the soundtrack on because they don't want to get a copyright strike. Sometimes I see, you know, these new ones come out and I'm like, that's great. I'm literally never going to have the music on. Like the first thing I do with a new sports game is I go in and I turn off the music so that I don't accidentally get the copyright strike on that first video I upload.
But
definitely podcasts, listening to podcasts back then, just playing through, especially because sports games, you don't need to be listening, really. That, I think that's also why nobody really cares about commentary anymore, because we're not listening to it at all. I miss good soundtracks.
And I agree 100%. Like that, the first thing I do with a game is turn the soundtrack off because, you know, if I'm going to stream it or create any content from it, I don't want the songs in there. But I look at the Madden 19 soundtrack, and there's not a song on there that I enjoy listening to, and I might only recognize three or four of the artists that are on there. And I think as we move on and evolve, I think you're going to see the soundtracks continue to dwindle in quality. Because people aren't using them. Why would EA go out and try to secure rights to a song that no one's going to listen to? So, you know, they've been trending this direction for years and years now where, and it's not just EA, it's every, you know, sports game. They tend to have more and more independent artists, you know, shown off in their games because it's cheaper for them.
Yeah, they're not going to get the budget they did back in, you know, over a decade ago.
But really, did those the songs that we were talking about in our top three, did you know those people before you heard them in those games?
Well, most of them, no. Yeah. But that they launched careers. I mean, that was what EA was known for, particularly with Madden back in the days, is every artist wanted to get onto the soundtrack because they could launch their careers. And they did that for several of them.
And I think if you look back, especially in the middle 2000s, EA had a tremendous amount of overlap with artists to various games. How many EA games between 04 and 07 was Franz Ferdinand involved in? I think it's like five.
How about, how about the walkie-talkie album of that other band, just because it was in one of those games?
But that was the one thing, is that EA showed a commitment to some of these artists that, you know, hey, we'll reach out to you, we'll put you in this game, and they did, you know, take people and let them over a few years, you know, put songs into their games, and some of them it launched their careers. Like I said, for me, even if copyright and streaming, you know, if that was not a concern, I still have no interest in the soundtracks that come out in sports games today. They just don't appeal to me. They appeal to people who are 10 to 20 years younger than me, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. I don't have to listen to them. I can fire up my Google Play Music and I can listen to that, and it's not going to be a problem.
All right. Well, that was fun. I'm glad we got to go through those soundtracks. And yeah, because I suspect in the years ahead, we won't be looking back and saying, you know, that we had memorable soundtracks in the year 2018 or 2017. It's just not going to be that way anymore.
I would love to know what, I mean, let's just face it, we're old. I wonder what younger people would have for their lists. I feel like a lot of people we got responses back from were older, because obviously they were playing, you know, Madden 04 and Madden NBA 2K3 and all that stuff. So I would like to know, like, someone born in 1998, if you're listening and you were born in 1998 or later or sooner, I don't know how all that works. What soundtracks are good for you? Like, is NHL 16 a dope soundtrack and we just don't know?
Yeah, you know, and there's
maybe,
you know,
it is.
NBA 2K had the soundtracks, which were curated by the likes of Jay-Z, and they had a bunch of big artists on there, and we don't even talk about it. Because it was probably because the time it released just did not have that effect on us. And so maybe it is a big deal, though. I've seen 2K trend away from making it, you know, for a couple of years that was one of its main one of their big selling points, because they knew they could reach a different audience, and they would get exposure on music websites and blogs and YouTube and all in that manner. And now that seems to be kind of fading away too. So a lot of great points about where these soundtracks were, where they've come now, and like you said, TJ, how we perceive it versus how others may perceive it depending on age. That's all a big factor in all of this. So but that was good. I enjoyed that discussion. And TJ, let's start with you. Where can we find you when you're not doing the podcast?
Well, when I'm not doing the podcast, which is too frequent, so let's update that so you can find me here on Press Row Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You can find me on Twitch at That Sports Gamer, also twitch.tv/OOTP Developments Monday nights, playing my Angels franchise. We won the 2021 World Series. That was pretty dope. Then my personal channels, Twitch and youtube.com/ThatSportsGamer. Braves franchise and out of the park. Still streaming MLB The Show. You might, if you find that archive of last night's stream, you'll hear me yell a very bad word, and then my stream just dies. and then I disappeared off the internet for a few hours after that. I wanted to write a little bit more, so I'm doing this Mets franchise and out of the park over on thatsportsgamer.com. Just because I feel like I don't write enough. It's weird, because I started writing some storylines for Out of the Park, and I was like, oh, yeah, writing. I used to like doing that a little bit.
Dude, when you start writing, it's easy to keep writing.
Yeah.
But when you take time away from it, it becomes, yeah, it doesn't seem as appealing. But once you get on a roll, at least it's always been that way for me. When I'm on a roll, I can keep going for eternity, it seems like.
Yeah, and it's not like podcasting where it's like I say something and I was like, nope, that was stupid. I can just go beep, 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 beep.
Absolutely.
And take it all out and redo it.
But I have the benefit of I can edit out anything stupid that I say.
You refuse to do it for us, but
no, I won't do it for you.
Yeah. I mean, there's a fee. It's very frustrating.
Makes me look better.
And he makes us Venmo him. I don't know how that works. I only use PayPal. I don't understand.
Venmo. You got to get.
I don't understand the kids. No, that's a kids thing.
You got to get on the Venmo train.
Wait, I have something. One more thing. Me and Chris are going to do something. He probably thinks I'm going to say one thing, which is hilarious because I wouldn't mention that. Like I said, I wrote the storyline for Out of the Park about getting hand, foot, and mouth disease. One of the things me and Chris think would be cool to do is we are going to at some point, I've not nailed down these details with Chris, we're gonna stream like a brainstorming session for storylines to put in the game and maybe like type them up while on stream discussing them. So I don't know if that's gonna be on one of our channels or on the OOTP developments channel, but you know, a lot of people love the storylines that are in the games, so this is kind of a way that, you know, we can interact and get some fresh ideas and put some cool stuff in there in the future.
Awesome. Yep. Snaggle, give us your details.
So right now you can find me, like you can find TJ. You can find me on Tuesday nights at twitch.tv/OTP developments. We have a Brewers franchise on the go. We're about to start the 2022 season. We finally made the playoffs for the first time. Made some big changes, so that's been a lot of fun. You can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/SnaggleJ. I've got something big coming next week in regards to streaming. I'm not going to say exactly what it is, but I do have some big news coming there. So your best place to find me for now is on Twitter at twitter.com/SnaggleJ. And yeah, I'm excited to do the storyline thing with TJ. We've been kind of brainstorming away because, you know, the next release of OOTP is going to be number 20. It's going to be a milestone edition of Out of the Park Baseball. So TJ and I are going to work hard to put our own little personal spin on it and feel like that's something that we would really like to share with everybody and kind of, you know, help people get their ideas into the game as well, as long as they meet our very drastic PG filters. But yeah, I'm glad to be back on the Press Row podcast. I'm always available, so you know where to find me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you guys. I am Brian Wiedeye, Pasta Padre. Follow me on Twitter, Pasta Padre, and at PastaPadre.com and at Sporting News. We will be back. Maybe not these two guys. Maybe they will be. I don't know. We'll have to see whether Rich nixes one or both of you. He says he's had enough. He's going to come back and assert his authority, possibly. We shall see. But thank you, everyone out there, for listening, and we'll catch you next week. Take care.